Would you turn with me in your Bibles to the first chapter of the book of Philippians? We're going to be in this beloved book, Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8 this morning. Before we get into the text, if I was with kids or in the youth group, I'd tell them to close their eyes and to think, but you don't have to do that. But what I'd like you to do is I would like you to think in your life, and even right now, just looking back over the entirety of your life, the people that God has used in your life, those who are really important to you, just think of five people, maybe ten. If you've got a big family like mine, you can go to 10. But five people in your life that you love, L-O-V-E, all caps. I love these people. These are the ones who are closer to me than any other individuals in my life. People that you'd be willing to give up your own life for them in order to protect or to care for them. I want you to think of their names. I want you to picture their faces. You got them? I want you to think of why you love them so much. Why is it that you are so close to them? Is it because they are your family? Is it because they're your old friends? Maybe friends all the way even from college or high school days? People that have been loyal to you? What brings your heart joy? What brings to your mind a sense of loyalty to these individuals when you think of them? Do you share similar interests? Is that your connection with these individuals? Or again, is it because they have been loyal and gracious and kind unto you? So you're close to them because you want to be loyal back. And let me ask you another question. How many of those individuals that are in your mind right now are part of our family of faith here at Kentwood Baptist Church? One? Maybe two? More? How many of those faces that you have thought of maybe not a part of this family of faith here, but are believers in Jesus Christ? And the similar interest that you share with them that has brought joy and loyalty from you unto them and really your one another is Jesus Christ and His gospel message. Is that what unites you? This morning we are going to find this very thing to be the example of the Apostle Paul and his love for the Philippian church. Paul was loyal. He loved them. He had a deep affection for them. And we're going to see the reason why is because they were partners with him in the gospel. They were both recipients of the grace of God in their life. And because of that, the Apostle Paul loved them deeply. You know, when I ask myself these questions, I'm not asking you anything that I'm not asking myself. I think a lot of times our connections with others can be worldly and superficial and for reasons that are not what we're going to have set before us this morning. And I hope as we go through this that we will be encouraged to make greater bonds amongst the one another's here at KBC. And that we will be encouraged also to make greater bonds with those who are our missionaries, those who we support, who we've either sent out or who have come and shared their ministry, and we join them in their ministry to the uttermost parts of the world. But what we're going to see this morning is we will see that the bond of Christ and His gospel message is what unites the hearts of the saints with a deep affection for one another. And that when followers of Jesus Christ share the same mission in their lives, God uses that. He uses that mission, that unity in the truth, in the proclamation of the truth. He uses that to transform us. Us doing that together. Not all on our own, but together, partners in the gospel. That is what transforms us. It's what strengthens us in our individual walks with Him. So hopefully you are there. Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to go ahead and read verses 3 through 8. Would you please follow along and would you stand with me in the honor of reading God's word? If you are able. It says this, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, would you speak to our hearts? Lord, would the living and active word truly pierce us? May it be powerful amongst us. God, would you use me to proclaim the truth that Christ would be exalted, that your people would be equipped and built up for work of ministry amongst one another and unto those of this world that need you so desperately. So help us, Father. We're dependent upon you and your grace and your truth. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Let's be seated. Well, it doesn't take much time reading through this text to find that Paul is sharing his deep affections for the believers who gather in the city of Philippi. Verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Verse 7, it's right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. Verse 8, for God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. We see clearly Paul cared deeply for the believers at Philippi. He held them in his heart. He had godly, yearning affection for them. And he was thankful for them. He prayed for them always. I love that. He prayed for them always. His prayers were filled with joy because the Philippians were a source of joy for the Apostle Paul. If you were to flip over to Philippians 4, just a page or two to the right, verse 1 says, therefore, my brothers, the believers there in Philippi, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Back to chapter 1. He's praying and making his prayers with joy because of this deep affection that he has for them. They are his crown. They are his joy. And I think Paul is describing the type of personal connection here that really we all long for in our lives. We are relational beings, okay? No matter if you are introverted or an extroverted individual, the way that we long for that intimacy and relationship with others might look different from one person to another, but all in all, we all desire close relationships with others. We long for a deeper connection than the surfacey walking up to each other saying, how you doing? How was your week? And moving on. But the question then becomes, what brought this deep, meaningful connection between Paul and the believers at Philippi? If we all long for this, and Paul is using his relationship as an example, to teach the Philippian believers. And if he's teaching us this morning, if we want close, meaningful relationships, what was it that Paul emphasized in order to help us understand how we get those relationships? What was it that brought Paul's heart close to them? Was it common interests and hobbies? Was it being able to walk up to one another and talk about Detroit Tigers baseball getting their first victory last night? That was the first thing that Pastor Bob and I talked about when we came in the church this morning. Was it similar interests or hobbies? Was it because they were in a common stage of their life? Now, oftentimes I get together with people of like age and like stage in their life, and we can just go on and on about life as a dad, life as a husband, what's going on in the home, what's going on at work. Similar things, similar stages, similar hobbies. Or maybe they connected because they were of the same ethnic heritage. We believe that Scripture teaches there is one race, okay? But there is a diversity of where you come from and your background and your heritage. Is it similar things of your upbringing that get this connection and you can go on a deeper level because of this? Scripture says, nope. None of the above. You don't need any of that. In fact, remember that Paul is a devout Jew that came to Christ. He was a devout Jew. And when he planted this church at Philippi, we discussed how instead of going to the synagogue, he went out of the city. Remember that? Why did he do that? Because there weren't enough Jews in Philippi to make up a synagogue. You needed just simply 10 men, 10 households, 10 men leading to make up a synagogue. And if you can do the math, 10 tithes put together is 100% to fulfill the need for one elder to be there and to minister to them. There weren't even 10 households of Jews there. These were Gentiles. And you can't get more different than Jews and Gentiles. So why? Why then? What brought them together? The answer is in verse 5. Look down with me. Because I have this close, intimate love and affection for you. I pray for you all the time. You are my joy. My prayers are made with joy. Why? Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. It's partnership in the gospel. It's what brought such a deep connection between Paul and the Philippian church. Before we examine what this partnership looked like, we have to see that Paul says from the first day until now. Remember, Paul is the one who started the church at Philippi. Okay? He led the first converts of the city to Christ. He taught there for a brief time before he faced heavy persecution and he had to leave town. But from that time on, the Philippians stayed connected to Paul. And Paul stayed connected to the Philippian church. They partnered together in the gospel. That's amazing. This is not like today where it's send an email, send a text, make a phone call. This shows immense effort. They were staying connected from the first time, from the planning of the church until now. It's wonderful. Now let's look at the word partnership. A partnership, this will help us understand what was this partnership that was going on between them. It can be translated these different ways. Fellowship, obviously we have partnership here. Participation, communion, aid, relief and contribution and aid. I won't make you turn there, but 2 Corinthians 11:9, when the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, he says, "And when I was with you and was in need, I did not burden anyone. Why? For the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my need." Where's Philippi? It's in Macedonia. "They supplied his every need. So I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way." So it was, I refrained then, and I'm going to refrain moving forward. Why? Because they're taking care of me. So part of the participation in the gospel from the first day until now is the church at Philippi supported Paul financially. They took care of him on his missionary journeys. For years, they looked out for Paul's needs so that his needs were supplied, he says in 2 Corinthians 11. Again, nowadays that's simple. Nowadays we can wire transfer money. We can send a check in the mail. It's simple. But according to 2 Corinthians 11, it's brothers came from the Macedonian church and supplied me. You see that throughout the New Testament of individuals going and bringing letters and bringing supplies to God's people who are out doing God's work. That's so cool. It took much more of an effort for them to stay connected, much more of an effort for them to provide, and yet they did it. What a beautiful thing. All of Paul's needs were met when he was in Corinth because of the disciples in Philippi. They knew what he needed. They were connected to him, and they sent messengers to bring provisions unto him. Oftentimes, we don't do much more when we think of missions in our church. We don't do much more than put a check in the offering plate. We designate a reoccurring deposit, withdrawal, whatever you would call it, coming out because of tithely. And again, these are good things. I'm not diminishing that. Okay, but we got to understand the effort and what was going into this relationship and this partnership in order for him to say that, to actually say, "You have been a partner with me in the gospel." It makes me understand in my own life, I need to go that extra mile. I hope you can see it for you, for us. This is what I pray continues to happen here at Kentwood Baptist Church. We've been emphasizing missions. We've been emphasizing the need to care for our missionaries, to know what's going on in their life, to know what their needs are. What is God doing through the gospel work wherever they are? And again, I believe God's doing that here. But we want more of it. We want more of it. We got to keep pushing for it. We got to keep intentionally getting involved and reaching out to them and being generous, having open hands that give generously to those in need. God has richly provided for us here. Let us sacrificially give to the gospel work there. But I think partnership in the gospel means even more than just supporting him as a missionary. The second thought that I wanted to see from this text this morning is that the Philippian church was actually involved in the gospel work themselves at Philippi after Paul left. So they supported Paul's work and they were involved in gospel ministry themselves. They were partners in gospel work through giving and through being involved in the gospel in their own community. You can see this in Philippians 1:7. "It's right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you're all partakers with me of grace." And how is that expressed? "Both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. You are partaking in these things along with me. The Philippians were doing gospel work, not just through the Apostle Paul's ministry, but they were trying to reach their community for Christ. They were suffering, just like Paul was suffering because of the gospel. You see, the gospel message, the message of grace, is not just a get-out-of-jail-free card. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a message that completely and radically transforms our lives. Being dedicated to defending and confirming the gospel in an outworking of the grace of God, the grace of God that has brought us salvation. So the Apostle Paul was defending and confirming the gospel because that's an outworking of his faith. It's an outworking of the reality of the grace of God in his life. And that's what the church was doing in Philippi. We are saved by God's grace. Salvation is a gift. And once we receive this gracious gift, we cannot keep silent about it. What God has done for us, we have to speak of it. And Pastor Bob, within the last year or so, went through a Sunday school class with us called A Biblical Worldview. Having a biblical worldview. And this is simply what it is, beloved. It's seeing the world through the glasses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel itself is a worldview. It changes the way we see everything. It changes the way we view individuals and what their greatest need is. It changes the 100% changes the purpose of my existence and my life and what I do with every breath. It changes my motivation. We start realizing that every man, woman, and child's greatest need is salvation that only Jesus can provide. So we must be about that purpose. We must be about the purpose of glorifying God, walking in obedience so that our life manifests the truth of the gospel. So when we proclaim it in word and in deed, and people can see it. The ministry of the Spirit through us overflows unto others. And then, when we labor side by side with other believers doing this very thing, who have experienced the grace of the King, the grace of God that has been preached to us, the good news. When we do this side by side and we go and we preach Christ and we serve together, there is a bond, there is a unity that God puts amongst his people that is unlike anything that this world can offer us. It's better than blood family. It's better than our ethnicity, or our heritage, or our race. God unites our hearts in his joy. He gives us his affections for one another as we're transformed by his grace. That's what it says in verse 8. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this comes by working side by side for the same end, in the same mission. The love that Jesus has for me, the love that Jesus has for you, overflows into our hearts as we believe and meditate on the gospel, as I'm transformed by it, and I work with you for kingdom work. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. I want you to see that I'm not making this up. In Philippians chapter 4, there is a relationship going on in the church. And there's some division. And we're sinners. Right? We are sinners. And these ladies were servants of the Lord and servants of the church. And they were sinners. And they were struggling. And listen to the instruction that the Apostle Paul gives them to bring unity. He says, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for," in verse 1, "my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord." Right after this, he's going to talk to the ladies. Before he talks to the ladies, what does he say? Stand firm in Jesus. Look to Jesus. Meditate on the gospel of Jesus. Jesus will unite you. I entreat Yodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. You have differences, I get it. Someone sinned against somebody else, I get it. Agree in the Lord. Forgive. The gospel is what's important. And your pursuit of the gospel together and the mission of the gospel together, that is what will make you agree. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, lovely, commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Still in the context of these ladies and their disagreement. This is what unifies you. Stop thinking about yourself. Stop thinking about the shortcomings of the other person. Meditate on Christ. Meditate on these things. Do you see it? That's what brings deep, meaningful, long-lasting relationships. And I know that's what your heart longs for. That's what my heart longs for. But we got to be committed to one another in doing these things in order to have that bond. Paul is not just talking about himself. He's not just talking about his affections for the Philippian church for no reason. He is expressing this truth to help lead them to experience this truth themselves. He wants them to experience it. And again, in particular, this relationship between these two women that were fighting. And God has preserved his word for us today. What Christ proclaimed, not a jot nor a tittle shall pass away until all is fulfilled. It's true, it's here, it's preserved for us. So let me draw your attention back to the beginning, because this is for us. Who are the people that you love most? Who are the people that you are investing your time in and coming alongside and serving Christ together? Are any of them here? Are any of them amongst the faith family at KBC? I dare to tell you that God wants your best friends to be amongst your faith family. Work at it. Work at it. Do you feel connected or do you feel separated? If you're not feeling connected, can I give you some advice? It's not someone else's fault. If I don't feel connected to the faith family, it's not someone else's fault. If you want to feel connected, then you must get involved. You must serve alongside one another in gospel ministry. You must get into each other's lives. I have in this amongst gospel ministers here at KBC. Who are the gospel ministers? All of us. We do the work of the ministry. Okay? It's the saints. The more dedicated you are, the more God will grow your heart and affections for others here. So be intentional about this. Select two or three households that you will strive to get closer to. Get involved with ministry inside these four walls together. But don't limit yourself to that. I want to say that again. Get involved in ministries inside these four walls, but don't limit yourself to that. We are the church. We are doing ministry, whether it is a prescribed ministry that we do here at the church, or if it's going together to a neighborhood park and letting your kids play on the jungle gym while you guys encourage each other and then see somebody else that you go and you speak to and you build a relationship with and you share Christ with them. Ministry can be going to Mel Trotter together. It can be going to Degage. It can be going to Alpha together and serving. It doesn't have to be something that we tell you to do. Do the work of the ministry and do it together. Get together and tell one another whom you're trying to reach out to with the gospel and pray together for them. Share your sins, share your shortcomings, ask for prayer, ask for accountability. And dare I say, if you're trying to reach out to your neighbor and you're praying for them with two or three families in the church, then invite those families over when you invite your neighbor over and be the body of Christ in front of them. Proclaim the gospel. Let them see the one another's in your actions. And they'll see Christ. They'll know that you're Christ for the love that you have for one another. Let's be intentional about this. Do meals together. Practice hospitality. Reach out together. This is what the family of God is. This is what the family of God does. We're new creations in Christ with a new mission in life. When we do it together as a family, God binds our hearts together and we're stronger. It's what God uses to bring us closer to Himself. We sing, Jesus, draw me ever nearer. This, and doing the one another's together, doing ministry together, is what draws us in growth to Christ as individuals. That's why he says in verse 6, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Next week, we're just going to look at that verse and the beauty of that verse. And I'm going to encourage you to memorize it before we do communion next week and we talk specifically about it. But again, this verse is in the context of partnering in the gospel. A word of caution. A word of caution to this tale. Philippians 1:7 says, it's right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you all are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Later, we will hear the Apostle Paul say this, or we'll read it, Philippians 1:29. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. If we are saved, and we understand the gospel of grace, and it has transformed our life, and we are now on a mission, and we see everything through the gospel, and we live for the glory of God, and growing in holiness and reaching out to others with the gospel, if that's our life and our work and where we live and our kids' baseball team, whatever else just kind of falls into that mission somewhere, then I want you to understand this, that you are going to face hardships. As I'm talking about this exciting thing of growing in your relationship with one another, understand one of God's graces in giving us the church is He puts us around sinners. And we've got to get along because the gospel unites us. And we go through real problems, just like the ladies did in Philippians 4. And we got to exercise forgiveness and grace. And we got to endeavor to maintain the unity and the bond of peace. We got to endure. But when you endure, when you go through those hardships, God builds character in you. And the end all of that is hope. We see God transforming our lives. We know that we are in Him. He is changing us. He's making us more like Jesus. And there's hope that the end of all of this is glory with Him. And it's all worth it. Please don't take what I'm talking to you about this morning is that, man, if you just get into these things, it's going to be all sunshine and rainbows. No, you're going to go through hardships. You're going to be tested. And I'll tell you this, it's harder to go through hardships at times in the body than with those on the outside because we expect it from those who are not believers. But when people really sin against us in the church, man, that hurts. And our trust is betrayed. But I tell you what, God is gracious in that. He's showing us what He went through on our behalf. And He says, endure, become more like Me. Be gracious, forgive. Our families and friends may even turn on us when we commit to the Lord. Christ said that in Matthew 10. He didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. And He's going to set family against themselves. Fathers or mothers. Daughter against mother. Man against his father. The people that you might even have come to your mind at the beginning, those who you hold most dear, your own family. Following Christ might set them against you. But He says, whoever does not take up his cross and follow Me is not worthy of Me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life now for My sake, he will find it. Do you believe? Together we can endure it. Together we are stronger. Let me close with a story. I have a friend who was a missionary over just outside of Iran, trying to get into Iran. And he was a pastor in West Virginia before he went overseas. And we supported him when we were out in Utah. And he had just a lot of wisdom to share when he would come back and I would ask him questions. But it was, I had a question one time about family, and there was a men's get together, and somebody asked about their family and things that were going on in their home, and he told a story of when he was in West Virginia, and a brother in his church came up to him and just said, "I feel like I'm losing my kids. They're teenagers, they're getting up in years, they're going to be leaving the house soon. And, you know, when they were young, they were vibrant in faith. And they wanted to come to church, and they read their Bibles, and they memorized verses, and they went to Awana, and now they just are, it seems like they're walking away from the Lord, and I don't know what to do. I don't know how I can get them. And please give me some advice." And his witty response is why this has always stuck with me. He said, "It sounds like your family needs a new story." The guy was like, "Okay, what exactly does that mean?" I said, well, tell me, what are your kids doing? What do they do on an average, everyday basis? Well, video games, hang out with their friends. Nowadays, we could say something like, I sit on my phone all day, right? And he just described their everyday life and what it looked like in the home. And he said, yeah, it sounds like you need a new story. Like your story is broken and you need to find a new vision. And he encouraged them to go out, and whether his kids were kicking or screaming, to get them involved in ministry and in a service. So there was a ministry in town. It would be something kind of like what we have, Mel Trotter. But it's for people on the streets. They can come in. They can hear from the word. They can have a place to sleep at night. And this was just radically, you'd see radical transformation. Hard ministry, but a good ministry. And he decided on that one, and he started taking his kids. And they came kicking and screaming. They didn't want to go. But the more that they got involved and they were there with mom and dad, the more that he said his kids started taking ownership. And they would talk about it at the dinner table, and they would start doing things themselves, projects, so that they could bring it with them and hand it out to people while they were there. And they got involved in gospel work, and God rescued their hearts and brought them back to himself. They needed a new story. They needed to get involved and get dedicated in being the body of Christ and doing it together. And when they did it together, it brought the family together. So what's your story? Do you need a new story? Does your family need a new story? Does our church need a new story? I don't know. Think about these things. Find a story for yourself. Find one for your kids, for your household, for your loved ones. Let them see the gospel in action in you. Join others here at KBC in this story. And God will use that to grow us together. And God will use that to grow us as individuals for the glory of his great name. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the truth of Scripture that at times we look at and we just breeze right by, and we don't think about the amazing reality of this relationship and what the Apostle Paul has to teach us. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be disciplined unto you, that we would be dependent upon you to work in us and through us, and God, that we would be disciplined in going to one another. Lord, Rome was not built in a day. I know that we can't do this with every single household here at KBC. Father, help us to get close with a few families, a few individuals. And God, would you grow our heart together, because we are doing your work together. We trust you to do this. For the glory of Christ's name, we do ask and pray all these things. Amen.